1 Corinthians 15, Genesis chapter 24. I tell you, it's wonderful to be in the house of God today. I'll tell you, I'm glad to be here. And I believe you are too. No other place on planet Earth like the church. Amen. No other place. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and we ask for the next few minutes that, Lord, you'll have complete attention. I pray our minds would not drift. I pray that you'll control our thinking and open our hearts to receive the Word of God. Lord, those that are cold and indifferent that may be under the sound of the voice of the gospel today, wherever it's preached, I pray you'll melt the cold heart. That one that may be astray, you'll bring them in. That one that may be lost, that you'll convict them with the power of the Spirit of God to bring them to the place of saving grace and eternal life. And I pray, Father, most of all, you've said you've honored your word above your very name. And we open your book today to hear from you. And I pray the Holy Messenger, Lord, would stir our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm talking to you that are on the way home. And I wish that if you're not on the way home, that you'll get on the right road and get on the way home today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's a verse that's been with me a lot of my Christian life. I don't know how long. I think of it from time to time. Most especially in the last couple of days, I think of this verse. And it encourages me. And I want to read it to you, just in case you might be discouraged on the way home. Therefore, that means because of this. Verse 57. Verse 58, therefore, verse 57. Therefore, what is it therefore? What is the reason? He said, because of the resurrection and eternal life and the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we get to heaven, we'll be in perpetual, everlasting victory. But that's not the way it is on earth. That's not the way it is on the journey home. And he said, keep it in mind if you may be despondent and in despair. Because he said, but we have the victory. He said, therefore, you know, we don't have to wait to get to heaven to have victory. We can have victory right now. Amen. But our victory is subject to rise and fall. Our victory is subject to be up and down. I mean the realization of our victory. The victory in Christ is static. It's stationary. It's foundational. It's not going to move. But our position is fluctuating. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable. There's so many things that would try to cause you to be moved off the path home. Be steadfast, unmovable. And while you're on the way, on the path, he said, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Stay busy. For as much as you know that you're, sometimes you think it is. Sometimes we all think that what we've been living for and trying to hope and instill in the lives of others has been worthless. But he said, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You ever think that you're just not getting nothing accomplished? That it just ain't working out? That everything you tried to instill in the lives of others or tried to be there for people, and then you say it, it's just not worth it? But God says it is. That's a trick of the devil. So on the way to our new home, in Genesis chapter 24, Rebecca has heeded the call to go to a new home. Just within a few hours' notice, she changed all of her plans. She changed all of her dreams. She left her family. She left her future. She left her friends. She left her way of life with a man that she had never seen before in her life, and maybe 10 others. And her damsels, her friends, her same age that were her servants, and her nurse ventured off to a 500-mile trip. I'm going to say, you can check it out with me, from Haran to Beersheba. And that's where Abraham was and where Isaac was. And my friends, they took off the next day without any delay to their new home. I realize that in the United States of America, unlike any country in the world. But I would say this, it's full of problems. When I say it's unlike any country in the world, I don't mean that it's good. We're not good. I confess with Jeremiah regularly for the sins of my people and my sins. Jeremiah confessed not just for them, but he confessed it's us. And we might as well take the blame. It's not just them, it's us. And we're in the shape we're in, not only because of them, but because of us. And no other country in the world, no other country in the world would put up with what we're putting up with. No other country. No other country. And I'm going to give you an example. In New York City, this week, at a council meeting, some immigrants from the Congo and whoever else showed up at that council meeting, and they began to complain about their situation. I'm talking about not immigrants, I'm talking about illegals. They're not immigrants, they're illegals. They're trespassing on holy ground. Our nation was founded as a holy place, and they're trespassing with their way of lives and with their gods and with their evils. They're trespassing on our property. In New York City, they came in to that council meeting and they complained about 5-star motels that they were staying in. They said, "We don't like this place." They complained not only about that, but they complained about the food. That breaks my heart. That makes me angry. That causes me to think, if I was in charge, anybody that did not have a United States birth certificate would have to leave this country. Amen. And start all over again. Amen, and let them come through some place like Ellis Island. Yeah. Yeah. And let them learn the language and let them swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States and be able to defend it with their own blood. Right. And recognize our God. Amen. No other country in the world would put up with what we're putting up with. No other country in the world would put up with leadership that we're putting up with. It would already be a coup or something. God help us. On the way, there's a lot of them floating in. They're floating in. They're coming by speedboats to California now and hitting the shore and jumping out of the boats and running up, and some SUVs picking them up and taking them. God help us. Now I want to zero my attention on the way home. And see, for good reason, right now, I'm going to say for good reason, if we just look at our country and look at what's happening, we would have reason to be discouraged on the way home. But when we look at Rebecca and we look at the hope that she has, promised to marry a man who's so rich that nobody knew how much he was worth, a man that possessed possessions that nobody knows how much he possessed because of his father, and the son relationship. Abraham the father, Isaac the son. They set out on their journey and they set out home towards their new home caravan. They had traveling companions. Just, you know this, I've said it for the last couple of weeks. She had her servants with her. She was, I'm thinking, 18 years old. That's how old my wife was when I married her. Her and her mama watched the calendar from day to day till she turned 18 years old. And the very month that she turned 18 years old is the month I married her. And I have no regrets. Don't ask her how she feels. They traveled. They traveled by camel. Camel was called the ship of the desert. It was very able to get them to where they were going. It was very able. They knew the way home. The Holy Spirit of God is represented by Eliezer, the servant, the head servant of Abraham. He knew the way to where she was. He knew the land where she came from. And he knew the way back home. And don't you get discouraged, my friend, of the way. Because God knows the way home for you. If you'll just stay with him, you'll be safe. You'll be safe. You see, there was a caravan. There was what I call the security team. His men. But there was more than that. Because he's representative of the Spirit of God. Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, is representative of the Holy Ghost of God. The one that Jesus said, when I'm gone, I'll send back. I'll send another comforter just like me, and he will be with you, and he will be in you. And an every believer that knows God knows what I'm talking about today. You know the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life. You know his presence. You will not deny his presence in you. And it'd be good if you'd just line up with his direction for your life. He's the security team. The word of the Lord said, he said, grieve not the Holy Ghost of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You see, you're not going to get away from him. Wherever you go, the Holy Ghost will be with you. And he sealed you till the day that Jesus Christ will be presented to his bride, will be presented to him. And you see, there is unseen security team that we have. Unseen security team. Number one, the Holy Ghost. He's your security through this journey. He watches over you. I've been in the woods a lot of times, and I wondered about not seeing a lot of snakes, and I don't want to see snakes, but I'll tell you what, I wondered how many saw me. And I'd say a lot more saw me than I saw them. But I want you to understand, we got somebody going ahead of us. The rear reward and the head and the side all the way around us. There was a man that I knew. His wife, his sister was named Miss Robinson. Miss Robinson, I believe her name was Nina. They lived at the foot of Lookout Mountain. At the foot of Lookout Mountain, going towards Menlo. They lived in a little trailer. And Nina had three or four or five kids, and her brother lived with them, and he was a little bit not with it in the mind. A good man. I can't remember what his name was. Might have been Thomas. And he had a little dog. And that little dog, it was his pride and joy. And he had walked the foot of that mountain and up to the mountain and round the mountain. He'd walk. And as he walked, that little dog stayed in front of him. And one day, when I was by there, he told me that the dog died. He got bit by a rattlesnake. It went ahead of him and took him instead of taking Thomas. You know, I don't know the path ahead. And you don't either. But I'm going to tell you what, if you'll just trust God, it'll stop you from worrying a lot about what the next step's going to be. Because we got one going ahead of us that's going to take the route for us and clear the path for us. And the Bible says that the path of the righteous shineth more and more unto that perfect day. And we'll be able to walk the path We'll have a clean path. And I thank the Lord for that. The Holy Ghost of God. But also not only the Holy Ghost of God. And I don't understand this, but I believe this. I believe it with all my heart. In the Old Testament, there were angels. In the New Testament, there were angels in Jesus' time. And up until now, there's angels. And there's angels now. And I'm not going to put a little angel in my window to worship it or on my coffee table. I'm not going to put, but I'm going to tell you one thing. If you don't believe that there's ministering spirits around you right now, you don't believe the Bible. They're ministering spirits. He said, be careful because you've entertained angels unaware. That means they can take on human form. That means you better be careful how you treat people because it could be an angel. And I'm not going to ask you to get out there and try to find one because you wouldn't know him if you saw him. But I'm going to tell you what he does. That angel that helps you ministers to you. And the word ministering means he simply serves you like Rebecca's little friends. They were, all of her little damsels went with her and they were servants. And you can be assured that God watches over his people with angels. Say whatever you want to say. And let me tell you, the supreme example is that Jesus had been tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards, he was hungered. And he, as a matter of fact, he won the test. He beat the devil at his own game. He did not fall under temptation. And my friends, you don't have to, and I don't either. There's no temptation, there's no temptation which is not common to man. But God tempteth all men. No, and we're not without escape because he makes a way of an escape that we may be able to bear it. So Jesus passed the temptation test more than once. The Bible says the devil left him for a season, but he came back. He came back in ways we know nothing about. Just like when we think we're through with the devil, he comes up on the other side of us. We're never through with him. He's always going to bring us trouble. But I want you to understand, after Jesus was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he didn't eat or drink. He was hungered. And the Bible says the angels came and ministered unto him. And what did they do? They fed him. I don't care what you say. It does not matter. Jesus was hungered. And the idea was they didn't just go. They just didn't go lay hands on him and say, be you filled. They fed Jesus. I'll go to my grave and be in heaven until we know differently. Those angels took care of Jesus when he was hungry. The Bible says they ministered unto him, just as if those women that followed Jesus and the disciples on their evangelistic tours, the Bible says those women ministered to Jesus. What did they do? They fed him. They washed his clothes. And my friends, where would we be without the women? We'd be stinky and hungry. That's right. You'll get tired of eating your own cooking without your wife, if you even know how to cook. There's the unseen security team. But they had some visible security. They had some visible help. Some visible support team. They had some security. You see, there were some external concerns that concerns me about on the way home. It's not all internal. There's some external concerns that we need to be careful about on the way home. There's some external. And as you go through this land, as you go on the way home, you better watch out for snakes. I mean, that's for sure. I'm not talking about physical snakes. I'm talking about people snakes. Just because they go to church don't mean nothing. It's good they do. Just because they hold up a Bible don't mean nothing. I know a man that I believe was a wicked man. He's dead now. He was a preacher. He was a pastor. And men that I thought had better sense looked at me and said, well, he sure could preach good. It don't matter how good he preaches or don't preaches. What matters is what kind of life does he live outside these doors? Snakes. The Bible says, and no marvel, for Satan himself hath transported himself into an angel of light, and his ministers are ministers of light. He's got them everywhere. Watch out for snakes, tarantulas. You know, down there in Mexico, I was in Monterey one time out in the desert area, and we were going down the road, and I saw something moving in the road, and there's these things about that big around, and they were just, I wasn't getting out. I'm telling you, I had one crawl up in my sleeping bag. I told you all that before down in Eridot. We were laying on the ground next to Peter's hut. He let us sleep at the edge of his house. And so me and Marco was there. I'll do this quick, but we had some Alaska sleeping bags that Kathy's granddaddy gave me. We really needed Alaska sleeping bags in Mexico. So I used mine for a mattress and used this little liner for a cover. And in the night, all of a sudden, something's up my sleeping bag before I know it, and it's got my kneecap like that. And so I did a Pentecostal dance. I don't know where it went, but it was gone. I think it was a tarantula. So then Marco was so scared, he got inside that Alaska sleeping bag and zipped it up, and he's got a big nose. And the only thing that was sticking out was his nose. There's all kinds of dangers in the Christian life. There's dangers in public school. There's dangers on the job. There's dangers with your neighbors. I'm not trying to get you paranoid where you're going to go around and say, you know, but I'm getting you to realize there's dangers on the way home. There's danger. There's dangers in things you read. You understand that somebody said, well, this and this and this. And they said, well, how'd you know? They said, well, I read it. Do you realize that you can read anything you want to read? That don't make it true. And I believe, my friends, I do believe this, and you know, on movies and things like that, I believe a lot of believers live from one movie to the next. And preaching's become boring to them because it's not animated. Yeah, I'm animated. I don't know. Animal-nated. So, but you get your ideas. You get your philosophies of life. You get your lifestyles presented to you by the world. And my friends, that rubs off on you. And you become conformed to what you expose yourself to. Romans 12, be not conformed to this. I wish I'd have brought it up to you. I wish I'd have brought it up. Kathy, run down there and get that egg carton. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. But you'll be becoming, just in the top left, in the big picture. I want you to understand, you'll be like what you expose yourself to. You don't believe that, but you will. It'll drag you down. The world will drag you down on the way home, and you'll get to feeling sorry for yourself because you're not able to enjoy the things that everybody else is enjoying. What's that preacher's name? It's up on a Sand Mountain in Albertville for so long. I'll try to remember his name. What's his name, chick? Raymond Cook. Raymond Cook got a car tag made, and on the car tag it said, "What's wrong with living right?" There ain't nothing wrong with living right, but the devil keeps drawing the line. You know, it's just like my calves. It's just like my calves. Thank you, sweetheart. We're going to have a little egg sandwich in there. I let them across the road, okay? I let them through the culvert pipe. There's grass over there. I let it grow. Let them go and come. But I let them across. And some of them had never been across. Some of them went across when they was teenagers. But the new ones ain't never been across. And I was hoping the teenagers would remember what was going on over there. Grass on down through the woods. So they did. They remembered. But I followed them because we took the grandkids at the swimming hole last week, or Andrew did. She said, I will be responsible for anything that happens. I said, snakes is done crawling. We saw a lizard that long. You ask Daniel. He don't lie. You saw that lizard, didn't you? Where's Daniel? Daniel, you saw that lizard, didn't you? How long was it? Hold your hands up. Stand up and hold your hands up. Stand up. Stand up. Show Derek. He wants to see. He wants to go see that lizard. Hey, that boy's telling the truth. You know what a snake is? A lizard. It ain't. A lizard is a snake and ain't lost his curse yet. I mean, lost his legs yet. So if lizards are out there, snakes are out there. So anyway, we carried them down there, and they the old rope, there's been a rope on the tree there for 30 years, and it was still pretty good, and chunked them out there, and swim or sink, it wasn't over their heads. But anyway, the thing about it is, I noticed along the fence line when we went down there that those cows walked around that fence line to see if there's any possibility of getting free before they started eating. They went to the limit on what that fence would allow them. And I do believe that's what a lot of believers do. They go to the limit with God. They go and see just how far they can get before they're in trouble. Now I'm talking about being exposed to the world. I'm talking about not being conformed to the world. It's what I'm talking about. I've had this in there. These eggs are probably still fresh, ain't they? They've been in there 6 months. As long as you keep them cool. That ain't an egg. Hey, you people out there in the radio world, look at this. What is that? You can say it to me. It's a golf ball. Prepare that carpet. Is that a golf ball? You know what Kathy did? Kathy put a golf ball in the chicken pen. So, I don't like black snakes and chicken snakes. They eat a few eggs, but they keep the poison snakes away. Kathy went down there in the cannon shed a couple years ago. She come back, there's a rattlesnake. I got my shotgun, went down there. She says, up behind them shelves and behind that food there. You know, it was sort of dark in there. And I said, well, she says it's a rattlesnake. And I blowed his head off and it was a chicken snake about 8 foot long. And chicken snakes ain't going to hurt you. They'll eat a few eggs. But this ain't an egg. This will never be an egg. I don't care what you do with this. If you crack it and fry it, if you boil it, it don't matter what you do with this. That ain't going to be nothing but an egg. I mean, a golf ball. Looks like an egg, don't it? She put the golf ball in the hen nest. You know what an egg looks like? Let me see if I got one up here. That's so simple. You know, all I know is simple stuff. This is so profound. This is so simple, it's profound. All right, what is this, radio world? That's a grade A medium. Egg. Come out of a chicken house, a big chicken house, which is not as healthy for you as if you'd grow them in your backyard. Right? Agree with that, Mr. Dr. Daniel? That's an egg. And that's a golf ball. Can you tell the difference in that? I would juggle, but I better not try that. She put that golf ball in the chicken house where my friends, the chicken snakes, would eat one. And they can try to eat a golf ball. They can swallow it. But they can't do nothing with it after they swallow it. It can't go either way. As far as I know, I could throw it up, but I don't really think so. I believe they'd kill themselves trying to throw it up. Golf ball. Now you see it. Now you don't. Let me get this good one. Look at there. There it is. That don't even look like an egg, does it? Maybe a giant quail egg. She put that golf ball in there. Next day or two, she ain't getting eggs like this. She's getting eggs like this. You don't believe that, do you? Is that not the truth? Be not conformed to this world. Don't try to fashion yourself like the world. If you start messing around with the golf balls, you're going to You ain't going to be an egg. You're going to be a golf ball. Does that make any sense? Matter of fact, you might be two golf balls. That's the truth, ain't it? You know my wife don't lie. You better watch preachers, though. They stretch the truth so far. This is the way it happened. You understand that you got to remind me, I'm a preacher. I was at the co-op the other day, and I bought something. I can't remember what it was I was buying. And I had to drive around where they pick it up. Now, say, all right, God, here, he's coming around to pick up a sack of whatever. But I stood around there and talked a long time. And then I went out of the offices, out of the store, around to pick it up. And I know them boys. And I said, you want to see my receipt? You know, because, you know, you show them what you're picking up. He said, no, you're a preacher. I said, thanks for reminding me. Hey, on the way home, if you're not careful, when you get home, you're not even going to look like a Christian the closer you get to heaven. You know why? You've been exposing yourself to golf balls. Exposing yourself to the world. The dangers, the external dangers, snakes, tarantulas, wolves. Paul said in Ephesus, in Ephesians, at the Ephesus church, he said he was brokenhearted. And here's every pastor's desire. Every pastor that's worth his salt, his desire is after he's gone that they won't change. They'll stay on the straight and narrow and not pay the price to be like the rest of the world. Paul said, after my departure, grievous wolves shall come. Wolves in sheep's clothing. God help us to beware on the way home. There's bandits. They were. I mean, they were coming through Canaan. They were coming 500 miles. What kind of bandits do you think? There's people out there to rob them blind. They have security guards. They had a security team. God watched over them. They knew a man. They knew the man that was leading them knew the way home. There's people that rob you blind. You know, I was in a home one time. An elderly lady had insurance with us, and her niece or somebody's running her business and become the power of attorney and was writing a check for her insurance, and she saw where she had wrote a check for $1,000 or something to send it to somebody like Jimmy Baker. Taking folks to the cleaners, bandits. You give your tithe and offerings. And everything else that you give, you better be careful who you're giving it to. You better be careful who you're giving it to. So, there's concerns external. But there's in-house dangers. What do you mean, preacher? I'm taking it away from the invisible bodyguards we've got to the visible. They were, I believe, let's just say 10 men, 10 damsels, or 11 men, or whatever amount of men they were men. And those men were traveling with teenage girls. Now, don't you think there could have been an in-house danger there? I'm talking about the real world. Now, I mean, those guys, only one that swore to allegiance was Eliezer. And he might have had his servant swear too. But he swore to get her back there safely. And safely not only meant from some kind of external harm, but it had to do also with moral non-harm. No sexual harm. Traveling with the men. I don't know. Don't take this. Well, you see where it is. You see what I'm talking about. Internal, not only external, but in-house dangers in-house. A friend of mine lost his son up at Little River. He was up there rafting. His son drowned him. Grown man, several years ago. He's a pastor. He's a friend of mine. I don't even know where he is now. Pastor in Gadsden for a long time. I saw him up at the Coosa Corner there getting some minnows going fishing. Let's talk a little bit. How you doing? How you doing? Doing fine. Hey, we're doing fine. It's good to see you. He said, my church is ate up with adultery. It's full of adultery. That's what the pastor said. You know, Brother Roach told me years ago in a situation, he said, when the pastor finds out it's too late. It's too late when the pastor finds out immorality. Got her home safe. Keep her clean till she gets home. Praise the Lord. But what about an internal concern? Listen. Oh. An internal concern for Rebecca inside of her. We just sung a song that said, be still my soul. It didn't say, be still my feet, my hands. It said, be still my soul. The soul is what gives you it dictates to you. The Bible says that your heart is wicked above all measure. Deceitful. We got to be careful not to think with our heart, but to think with our mind. We think with our brain, not with our heart. Somebody said, follow your heart. You'll do that and you'll be in big trouble. And I sort of know what they think they mean, but you don't listen to the dictates of your heart. Internal concerns. Homesick. Do you think she ever got homesick? She left her mama just within a few hours before then, and she was in a trip that took at least 50 days, is what I'm figuring, or maybe more. And I know she got homesick. I know she did. Wishing it could be some other way. And you know, there's people that come to church alone. There's kids that come to church without their parents. Wishing they could be with them. There's parents that come to church without their children. Wishing their children could be with them. And getting sick. Because the children are the parents. Are not following the way home. And there's nothing you can do about it except for pray. Try to be a good witness in your life before. Homesick. Afraid. Maybe she got afraid. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Afraid. Are you telling me in the night hours them girls laying there, don't you think? You know they did. They got afraid. Might have heard a wolf or howling. Or I remember down in Mexico when we were laying there sleeping there that week on that ground, I heard the strangest sound I'd never heard in my life, and it was on down in the woods, and it was a screaming. I didn't know if it was an animal or what, but it was a human being. It was a drunk man, and he was screaming like an animal in the night, and it put cold chills down my spine. And I want you to understand, my friends, when you're walking, when you're going on the way home, I want you to understand you will get afraid if you're not careful. There'll be fear for some reason or another. Something happening, you have no control. Something there, something present that causes you to fear, maybe in the middle of the night. But Jesus, the Word of God says that God gives us psalms in the night. You look for God in the night. You look for God in your fear, and He'll help you. He'll find you. He'll comfort you. Mental and emotional. Well, there's some caregivers. I don't know. My phone tore up. Thank God. My phone is dead. TJ tried to fix it. It's worse off now than it was. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, TJ. I'm kidding. Even the Verizon told me I needed a new one. I'm gonna bring that baby back to life. I don't want a new phone. I like the old phone. I'm going to try to freshen it up. Don't nobody look at, don't worry about time right now, please. Please don't do that. There's some key people that will help you in your lives. And the Holy Spirit will use them to help you. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, we're going to read these quick. I'm talking, I want to say publicly that I appreciate the people that have encouraged me in my life and helped me get this far down the road home. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 16. Verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. You know what heartache can bring when people you've got confidence in you, people you got confidence in, they turn away from you? On the way home, you think about it. There's people that are not here and not in your lives. It was at one time. They turned away from you. For whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes? But here's a positive. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. For he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Paul was in prison. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out. He found him in Rome diligently and found me. And the Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. Thou knowest well. Onesiphorus was a physical human comfort to Paul, when Paul was on the way home, close to the end of his life. Onesiphorus' name means prophet bearer, load bearer. Now you know what this says, look. Verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft, look at that word, refreshed. You know what that word, just word picture in the Greek language means? It's a breath of fresh air. And you know what, I was just going to name part of this message, bad breath believers. You ever been around anybody with bad breath? Hey, you know the key to that? You need to make yours better than theirs are. I guess. God help. Me and Kathy both ate onions when we got married. Man, that made things really peaceful. She used to eat onion and a biscuit. I never did understand that one. Bad breath Christians. I want to be the good breath Christian, don't you? And help somebody that needs help along the way. Onesiphorus. He ministered. And then there's a man named Barnabas in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4. You know where I'm going here. I'm saying, what? You know, what are you going to do to try to help somebody along the way home? What are you going to do? I tell you one thing you can do is quit thinking about yourself and start thinking about somebody else. If you spend the whole time, if you just dwell on you, me, you're going to be the most miserable person in the world. But if you get your heart and burden for somebody else, that'll help you. That'll get you on your feet. Barnabas in Acts chapter 4, verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed or nicknamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, son of consolation. You know what that means, my friends? He was an encourager. His name means to be an attendant. It means to wait upon. His name is made of two Greek words. The first one means to be an attendant, to wait upon. And the end of that word, Barnabas, means to be prompt, ready, swift with the feet. He don't just wait on somebody else and say, hey, what about old so-and-so? He seems to be need a little help. What do you think the church ought to do about that? Or what do you think y'all ought to do? What he does is he don't wait on nobody, because his feet gets with his burden and he gets to that person and helps them, and don't sit around and start wondering why he's in the shape he's in and saying, well, God must be judging him or something. I'll tell you a story on that one. Man's daughter got killed in a car wreck, and just as soon as he got killed, the church people started saying, God must be judging him. He didn't say it to him, but his boys worked out in the world as a mechanic, and they heard those people talking. They were judging my friend and saying he must have done something wrong, or Christie would not have been buried in two places. The wreck was so bad, they couldn't get her out of the car. Part of her body, he buried that car, and part of her body in his pasture, and he buried the body, part of the body they could get out in the graveyard. And they said, God must be judging him for something. Them sorry devils. I'm telling you. Barnabas was ready to help. And then there was Rebecca. Genesis 35. I mean Deborah. Genesis 35. Genesis 35. Listen, Genesis, I want to get to 35 and verse number 8. Get it there, we're closing. I preached so long, we'll just take the rest of the month off. Y'all want to do that? Genesis 35 with pay. Genesis 35 verse 8, but Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried. Oh! Beneath Bethel, under an oak. And the name of it was called Alon Bacheth. You know what that means? The oak of weeping. I just assume, and I believe, that probably Deborah spent her in, was with Rebekah from the time she was born until the time she died. Are you listening to me? Rebecca was her nurse. The word nurse simply means the first time it's ever mentioned in the Bible is with Rebecca and Deborah as her nurse. Rebecca means one that gives a nurse. Deborah means one that gives nourishment. Your responsibility and mine on the way home is to give people nourishment and refreshment and encouragement. Deborah's name is another word picture here. The sense she lived her, she was an amazing woman just by defining her name. Deborah name means in the sense of an orderly motion. She made every footstep count. When you medical people are helping people, you make every step count. You don't have an idle stepping off. You keep zeroed in at the person that's in need. And you don't make a movement that is a selfish movement. You move in the direction of the needy. And it also means it's like a bee for the bee people. A bee, those worker bees, they spend their entire life going and coming, sustaining the queen and those other guys in there that are lazy. The idea of orderliness is, and this is where it hits a Christian home, it means to be arranged with the words. In orderly words. Do you understand that there's power of life and death in your tongue? And we need to be very careful what we say and when we say it and how we say it. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. People know the difference. They know your countenance. And if you can be a hypocrite with a good countenance and good words, we'll just go ahead and be one, because I'd rather you be that way as just be mean and hateful. I'm talking about on the way home. Oh. And Deborah died. And they buried her under an oak tree. And they call it the oak of weeping. You know, you can cut a tree sometimes. I cut something a while back, and it was just like water just poured out of that tree, weeping. I'm thinking about a lot of my friends A lot of my nurses that have died. My daddy, I wished he hadn't have died so young, 60 years old. I sure miss him. I miss J.M. You'll never know how much. I miss Brother Canoy, Brother Brown. I miss Brother Roach. Brother Roach, I'd call him. He said, "Hey, buddy." He'd call me, "Hey, buddy." I miss them. You know what? We're going to be missing some more before long. If we're not, you know, whether we're careful or not, we're going to be missing some. But aren't you glad for the people that have influenced you? It makes you want to influence others, don't it? In a positive way. Let's stand with our heads bowed. You want to be a Onesiphorus? You want to be a Barnabas? You want to be a Deborah? Maybe some of you are sort of falling short on being a first responder to the needs of others and your brother. He that seeth his brother hath need and shuts up his bowels of mercies, how dwelleth in him the love of God? My friends, make a commitment today to make your life count on the way home. My friends, if you're discouraged or fearful, downcast, come up and let the Lord give you some encouragement on the way home. On the way home. Brother Ray used to sing a song, and I miss Brother Ray. He'd sing going down the road. He'd sing a song like, "On the rugged cross of Calvary, blessed Jesus died for you and me. And though the violent sinner you may be, Jesus loves you too." And then he would sing one that says, if that's the lights of home, that's a welcome sign for me. And I want you to understand, some of us are getting to the place where we can just about see the lights. I come into these cities when I travel and be at night, and especially in Mexico, you'd be in outer darkness, so dark you could cut it, so thick. And then I'd see a light somewhere in the distance, and it'd be a little town. And those lights would be comforting to know that we're getting close to a civilization of some sort. Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because we're getting close enough to see the lights. It don't matter if you're old or young. If you're here lost today, why don't you trust Christ as your Savior? It's not worth it to try to make it through life without the guide. Father, have your way, I pray, with invitation. Jesus' name. Amen. You come on now. Bring whatever burden you have, whatever need you have to the Lord.